We wait on him. Sometimes even in our planning, we plan to get together and wait on him, which is the needful ingredient, which is the needful element, the willingness to be a waiter, waiting on God because he is so dependable. To come, to manifest himself. I just have so much rushing through my head right now. I'm looking for the starting point here. Let's pray again. Come on, let's pray. Father, we come here seeking your will, your direction, your leading in our lives. We hunger and thirst for you, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My daughter, Loren, was talking to somebody one day, and they were just, other individuals were sharing about their heritage, you know, and second generation, third generation, and how they were so impressed by those that they were raised by because of their heritage, and it popped into Loren's head. She said, my mom and dad were new converts. We were raised by new converts. Truth. Good point. And we're dependent upon the Lord. Amen. That's a good thing. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about his need for spiritual birth, he went on to elaborate by saying, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. You know, almost like he started a different conversation, but he was in the same dialogue. Canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So God was trying to, in a parallel, give him some understanding about the experience that he would walk in, having been born of the Spirit. The wind blows. You're familiar with the wind. When you least expect it, got your hair done right, walk out the door, and where'd that come from? Whew! Blows it right over the other side. The wind is so unpredictable. You ever been in wind that it just keeps changing direction? You know, it's one thing when it's all moving in one direction all the time. You ever been in a place where it blows this way, then it blows that way, and it blows that way? And it's like there's an unpredictability about it, but there's also a surety about it, according to what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. There's something about your experience being born into a spiritual kingdom that's going to be much like the wind. You won't know when it's coming. You won't even know the direction it's coming from. So it is that we as believers, we come waiting upon him. I was in a meeting just the other day, and we had planned it a year ago to come and discuss specific matters, talk about some direction, things like this. And so we had an agenda, so to speak, but nobody brought any notes. And really, as we sat there the first day and then on into the second day, I remember finding ourselves, we're kind of waiting. We knew that we should come together. We knew that we should be at the table. And there was some discussion that you could call it kind of planned and very routine. But still, when you come together in that environment, you come believing. You come waiting because you know that any moment.
You just don't know when the moment's going to be.
That there would be a sweeping in. That there would be a quickening that fast. And it would be evident and obvious to those in the room. There was a gentleman sitting at the table out of what seemed like nowhere, as far as our discussion was concerned anyway. He says, I got to tell you something that happened to me while you guys were in Singapore. I was beginning to feel sick and afflicted, and it was the strangest thing that came over me. He said, I believe it was the spirit of death. Because it began to talk to me about death. It began to convince and persuade me that I would be better dead than alive. And he said, to tell you the truth, sounded kind of relieving in the moment. But he said, this is what I want you to hear me say, that it was so seductive that I was almost convinced in a few moments that if I would just lay down, that I would die. And it seemed good and right. He said, until another voice spoke to me, and he said, this isn't me talking to you. This is not God. And he said, he pressed against that. Not the second, but the first. He pressed against the feelings of death or the willingness to submit to death for relief, and he pressed back up against it. And at some point it lifted and left him. When he said that, I was quickened. I was quickened to tell him, we have people right now in the Northwest that are dying from the flu. They're everywhere. And right now in my family, and I went down the list and began to name them, they're all throwing up. They've all got the flu of some kind. And I've got a grandson that's been throwing up for 7 days. And I said, I'm asking you to pray right now, because I detected God had gave him authority over what had come against him. And that there was something afflicting the Northwest. You know, when it comes in quickening, you just speak it out. You don't analyze what you're about to say. You just yield and speak. And this transpired in a few moments. And so I asked him, I said, I'm asking you to pray right now. The prayer that would affect this influence over the Northwest right now that's afflicting people. Now, my wife told you, I was healed last Sunday sitting on that platform. In a moment, I never had another situation come upon me, but I was hearing from everybody around me how afflicted they were. And so he began to pray. I began to pray. A gentleman across the table, David Shatwell, he asked Brother Dillon, he said, stand up, put your hands on Brother Schoonover right now, on his shoulders, and speak against the things that he shared with us. He did. I did. We prayed. The place erupted in prayer in a moment after sitting there for a day and a half talking, but waiting. Waiting for we don't even know what, but we know to wait. How is it that we can decide what should happen, what needs to happen? Brother Wright was sitting across the table. And he told us later, he said, there was so much authority that came into that room in that moment. I started believing and praying against the snowstorm that was coming into the Northeast. That I would just make it home before it hit. Of course, course, he sent us pictures and told us his schedule, how he made it home just in time. There was a need, okay? But that need was not a part of our discussion. It didn't really seem like there was a whole lot of significant things going on in the discussion. But we knew that we should be there. We got on the plane and went there. We sat at the table in agreement together, waiting on God. Are you a believer? So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now I'm feeling that quickening here, right now. This is for us. Say, this is for me. Receive it into yourself. Bring it into your being. Embrace it and say, that's mine. That's where I walk. That's who I am. That's what I need. You may reflect on that and say, well, that was in a room with a bunch of preachers sitting at a table. No, this happens to us as believers, wherever we are. Willing, waiting. I live by that. I depend on that. Let your quickening power prevail, Father. Let that quick word prevail, Father. We lift up Del Cool and Marie Cool right now. Let there be a quick word. Let there be a quickened word. Come on, it was a quick word that raised dead men out of graves. It was a quick word that raised up the sick and the afflicted. No difference. No difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, it's the same quickening that was on Brother Johnstone as he opened the service in prayer. That anointing and authority and power that prevails upon a believer. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. What are the things that we trust in? What are the things that we rely on? Do I rely more upon a doctor's shot at the emergency ward or an anointing and a quick word that came upon somebody to speak? Where's my trust? Where's my belief? Where's my belief system? Where do I place it? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Praise God. I know that we've been traveling a lot, and I'm fixing to travel some more. I'm leaving Tuesday with Brother Hart and his son, Joey, to go to Italy. The meetings that we are aware of, we are going to be in 5 meetings in 8 days. I'm sure there'll be some one-on-one stuffed in between that with several individuals, but I want you to be aware specifically in one area. We will be involved in Torino in two meetings that I'm aware of. We will be involved in Milan, the city of Milan, in three services and one other meeting that I'm aware of. Okay? I'm sure I've never said this to anybody, but I felt to communicate to one of the pastors there. I realize we're going to be there on Easter. I realize we are in Italy on Easter. But I'm just going to make a suggestion to you. If you'll put all programs aside on Easter and just let us come and do whatever it is that we do. We don't do program. And there's just no time. Would you agree with me today? Not just for this trip and series of meetings, but there's great significance in these meetings in Milan. Would you agree to pray with me right now before we go, that the angel of God would go before us? Let's pray. Please agree with me. We don't go looking for speaking engagements. We go looking for impact. Let there be impact, Father. Let there be impact, Father, according to your Spirit. That which you would order, Jesus, let your quick word prevail in our midst. In the name of Jesus. Your will be done, Father. Your will be done, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, when Paul was writing and declaring that which was born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and making these comparisons, obviously the flesh is temporal. The flesh will come to an end. That which is spiritual is not just lasting. I believe that which is spiritual has its origin in one spirit, and that's the Spirit of God, which is eternal, which tells me that it produces an eternal work. Okay? I am minded of the fruitfulness of a spiritual work. That's why it's important for each one of us that we seek a place of walking in Him, that the evidences and the fruitfulness of His Spirit would prevail. Is that a clear statement? I've got to have enough evidence in me that I know when it says these signs shall follow them that believe. To me, I want to see evidence that I'm a believer. Not just a declaration. Not just a declaration on my part. Oh, yes, I believe. Do you believe? Oh, yes, I believe. No, somewhere along the line, there needs to be the manifestation of evidence. And so I'm not going to stop striving until I see that. As a believer, as an individual. It was almost 15 years before I really began to see evidences that I was watching for. But I have seen a little. I'm just saying. I hope the journey's not long. But how can I defer to anything else? There's been such a parting of the ways with so many that would appear that their direction is based on personal motive. When I say that, I mean there are those that are driven towards presentation so strongly that it is a presentation that appeals to an element in people that is not lasting. Whatever it was that Paul meant when he said, look, when I came among you, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. They were all things that he could have done. Excellency of speech, wisdom of man. He was a possessor of those things. He was the one that persuaded the governor to get letters, and he gave them to him. But the natural talents and abilities that flourished in him, coupled with all of the education and the teaching that he got, he came to a place in his life and, if I can say, ministry, that he understood there were things that he had to press down, that there were things that he had to push back from. There were places that he had to avoid that would bring the accolades of men so that there would be a demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. There would be the evidence that he was a believer that would be manifested to a place that he said, that your faith would not stand in me as a teacher, as a speaker, as an apostle. Your faith would not stand or be in me for anything, but that your faith would be in the power and the wisdom of God. I know this is my candy stick. I know it. I can't help it. It's what I feel like I got to talk about everywhere I go. There's such a parting of the ways in the days that we're living in. Two different directions. I don't know if there'll be a middle road, a middle of the road. Or I don't know. But it's not about being hard or soft. It's about being temporal or eternal. I have observed what can happen in a congregation of people. And I ask the question, is that same thing possible to transpire in a household? What do you think? You want to help me answer that? When I say this, If spiritual ministry, and this is what I'm talking about, yielding to spiritual exhortation, the quickened word, spiritual utterance. In other words, if I would have turned to John 3:3 and I would have read to you, you know, this is my text for the day, and this is a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, and I could have declared to you principle after principle, but there is a spiritual utterance. There is a quickening for this right now today. What that tells me is if the origin of that quickening is in the throne room of God, then that which is going forth and pierces the heart is received into my spirit and my being. It produces a spiritual work. There's something that becomes alive and quickened in me that's eternal. That will continue on, and then the precept upon precept, line upon line. That's just not memorizing a verse here and memorizing a verse there. It's receiving a word from God that produces faith. One word, another word, adding to. It begins to bring a change in this being that is less carnal and more spiritual. Now, these are my words. These are the apostles' words. You know, found himself in one crowd and said, "My goodness, I came here with so much direction and anointing and where I was going to go, but I can tell right now.
Y'all are comparing who baptized who and who sat under whose ministry." And he said,
"You're so carnal, I can't do what I need to do. I'd like to take you to the deep things of the Holy Ghost, but you can't hear it." I've been in a few crowds like that. This isn't one of them. But over time, there should be the development of a spiritual life in Christ that lives and begins to produce the evidences. These signs will follow the believers. What were those signs? Anybody got that one memorized? They shall cast out unclean spirits. Oh, devils, he did say that.
What else? What other signs were there?
Laying hands on the sick and they would recover. Hallelujah. What else?
Wasn't there something about snakes?
So, since we're on that subject, my wife walked into the basement the other day, and she came up out of there, and her face was just white as a sheet. "I don't know how to tell you this. There is a snake in the basement." He was a well-fed snake. His head was only a half inch wide. His body was this thick. His 4 foot long. He was hanging over the wires and looking at her. Wow. This was our day. I told my wife, I said, "Honey, let's you and I just spend the day together. We'll go eat some tacos at a taco truck. And because I'm leaving town again, this will be our day."
And the snake stole it.
She had no peace. I had no peace. I told her, "This is an attack." So I spent 2 days dealing with snake. I won't tell you all the details of that, but that's just a side issue there. What a distraction. I was just having peace about getting an addition on that house. Now we're talking about bulldozers. Honey, let's not make a decision until I get back from these trips. It was an attack. It was just a snake. It just went out the wall or went down in the wall. I sealed his exit. I hope there's a lot of mice down there for him, or his life is short now. I talked last week, was it, or 2 weeks ago? I don't know, whenever I was here last talking, about learning by rote. Remember that? And the idea that one's learning was based in memorization and repetition. That really has nothing to do with understanding. And when I realize how possible that is, that a people, because it was the Holy Ghost that prompted that to me and what I'd seen, and that, you know, that would stop development. It would hinder and halt or extremely limit my development. If I want to develop in Him, if I want to grow in Him, if I want to put on Him, His focus wasn't the temporal. It was on the spiritual. Matter of fact, He said that, you know, that carnal life, that temporal life, if you want to follow Me, pick up a cross and follow Me. If you seek to save your life, you ever really gave thought to that statement? If you're a life saver, that means a majority of your thought is eaten up with ways to preserve you, your direction, and your personal contentions. When Jesus tried to tell us the better way, and it literally was to lose self, but He said lose life. If you'll lose your life for My sake, motive again, then you'll find it. I've watched people go to the grave still seeking to preserve life and never finding that place in Him that a fulfilled life would come. Christ living in us, Christ living through us, so that it's His direction, it's His leading, it's His goals, desires, wishes. Somebody said it like this. I think it was Brother J.T. Pugh, when he was talking about the will of God versus us surrendering to His will, that at the end of life, if you could lay a map out of our life and then take an image of His will and lay, you know, do an overlay and see how close the match is. I thought that was a pretty good description. Of course, we realize walking in His will doesn't seem to happen overnight. Because as we grow in Him, we become more willing and allowable to let go of our own personal direction. It's a place that can be reached, I guess, if I could say it that way. Paul talks about hitting the mark at the end, running the race. I believe he was trying to describe, you know, I was running my race in the beginning, and we all know how that was going. But through the process of time, as God dealt with me about things and then would lead me to respond to His leading, the eventuality was as he reached a place of no longer living for Paul, but for living for God, or living with Him, Christ living through Him. We don't use that statement too much, living for. That's not His expectation. Let's pray again. Father, You are so forgiving. You are so patient. You are so patient through the process of time to wait for alignment, Father. Praise God. You know, I grew up living with my mom, and my mom and dad got divorced when I was 5 years old. I was in Germany So when we came back to the States, we came with Mom. Dad went to Vietnam. And I'll never forget living with Mom. And then when she met a guy from Newark, New Jersey, we drove to New Jersey. They got married. We moved to New Jersey. And then she wanted to start going to church again. And so we went to a little Nazarene church in Dover, New Jersey. And I remember she would speak out once in a while and say, she kind of wore a coat of guilt, this thing. If I was five, that would be, or I was 10 then, that would be 50 years ago. Because she had been divorced, there was this stigma upon her life. And it was almost like she was always kicked to the curb kind of a thing. Or if she never felt like she was a part of the group. Because she had this stain, this mark, this stigma upon her life. And so, growing through my younger years up to the time I received the Holy Ghost and was sitting at a kitchen table with my pastor, somehow we got on the conversation about one of his daughters. See, because it was one of his daughters that was dating my best friend that led me to the church. We played on a softball team together. She would come out and watch the games. They met. They got cozy. She had a son. And they got married. And I don't remember whether it was just this lingering thing in my mind, but I'll never forget sitting at that table that morning in Union Gap. And Brother Leslie talking to me, my pastor talking to me about this. And I remember him saying, I don't know what question I asked, but his answer came back and he said, well, it's not the unpardonable sin. You're right. Was it the will of God for it to happen? Highly unlikely. How many things in our life are the will of God to happen? Highly unlikely. But he being temperate, he being long-suffering, and I never forgot the mark that those words made upon me sitting at that table. Well, that's not the unpardonable sin. In other words, look, and he began to talk to me about things in my own life, relationships that I'd had. And he says, where's the line of demarcation here? He said, he shared with me that God's love runs as deep for his daughter, the one that we were discussing who had married Roger, and the other daughters. Just receive it of him right now. Come on, receive it of him right now. If this is an unsettled situation in your life, I know that there are those here who have come through and they have settled for themselves. But if you're here today and there is an unsettled circumstance between you and God, do not take a mark upon you. Do not receive a mark upon you. Submit yourself to him. Submit yourself to him. Present yourself to him in honesty. Oh, let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Let's stand together. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. 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 So I grew up with a stepfather. And he liked to drink pretty much every day. And sometimes he would drink until the bars closed, which was 2 a.m. And then we would hear that GMC truck coming down the road. We knew it was his. There was a rock in one of the hubcaps. And you could hear that thing a half a mile away. And in that moment of hearing the rock, there would be a pit that would start to grow in our stomachs because of our nerves. I was 10, 11 years old. Most of the kids were younger. When I became a little older and I watched Roger when he met Barbara. Barbara had a son by the name of Bradley. Good little kid, about 5 years old. Roger would come to work. And his tennis shoes, I think, there's water on the floor. I can't even believe that you're wearing tennis shoes. But they would have holes in them and a toe would be sticking out. I said, what's the matter with you? Why don't you buy a new pair of shoes? You need a new pair of shoes. Oh, I got to buy shoes for the kids. This was a stepfather talking. Now, I hadn't seen one of those kind. The kind I met was the one that went out and drank to 2 in the morning, spent the money, then they ended up in a verbal fight and argument and, you know, ripped the phone thing out of the wall and we would run down the road and ask the neighbors to call the cops. Bill and Mom's fighting again. And I watched Roger love children that were not his own, and I had never seen that before. And I couldn't tell the difference. It so marked my life watching my friend. He eventually came to the Lord. She eventually went back to church. And they're a wonderful family. And they're still together. They just retired. And I look at the example and I think, now that's the grace of God operating in the lives of people that came both really in some broken situations. And the blessing of God has come upon them to the degree of what I could witness and watch. That, I have to tell you, there's something that to this day, I wouldn't be talking about if it hadn't. To this day, I have been marked by what the love of God did in that home. See, that never did happen in my home. It happened in my personal life. And my wife spoke about a little bit about our relationship and our family. With God, all things are possible to them that believe. And His love runs so deep. This probably has nothing to do with it, but you know when you read in Scripture about Saul and his army? I think Saul was kind of a perfectionist. In other words, he wanted the winners fighting in his army. But the minute they became wounded, he would discard them, leave them to die, and they would march on. It's my understanding that David's army would come along and they sound like a bunch of hooligans. But they'd come across one of his wounded soldiers and say, hey, man, come fight with us. Come on, come into our camp. We got some extra victuals. We'll help you. What a shift in a mindset. From feeling rejected to becoming the accepted by other men, by brethren. That's the shift that God wants to make here today for somebody. Ignore the words of the rejected. Kick out the voice of the accuser. And receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. The love of God. The grace of God prevailing in your life. I'd like to open the altar here. I believe for the healings that have taken place here today. And I feel and believe for an emotional healing here today. Come on, he knows every detail of your situation. Submit it to him. Present it to him. Lay it upon an altar here today. Come on, take off that beggar's coat. Take off that beggar's coat. Come on, I feel the anointing of God coming into this room right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Come on. Push those leper's garments aside. Take upon you the coat of righteousness, the robe of righteousness, that when others look upon you, all they see is the grace and the love of God. All they see is the righteousness of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Into your life in the name of Jesus. Let him optimize the fruitfulness in you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Nothing but the blood. stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. And by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed.
But the blood. Let's sing this together. Watch us stand. Sing, oh precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Sing, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.